C7. Number 16A.
Is there a material evolution plus a spiritual evolution? Therefore, are there two evolutions, or is there just one evolution? If one, how can we explain the concept, the human concept, that there are two different evolutions? The answer is that there is only one evolution, and that therefore what seems to be a material evolution has to be explained from the standpoint of spiritual evolution, meaning that material evolution, rightly seen, must be spiritual evolution. Again, we see it all depends on rightly seen, all depends again on our approach to the subject. And so, what is meant by rightly seen? By rightly seen, we see that spiritual evolution brings about the disappearance of the belief in a material evolution. That would be the Christianity as the Christ. You see, that the idea of a spiritual evolution has a Christ, which frees us from the belief in a material evolution. What does that mean? It means, again, that spiritual evolution is the reality of evolution. Material evolution is spiritual evolution in spite of the belief in matter. That's material evolution. Material evolution is matter giving way to spirit. In this way, we can see that material evolution is not something per se, but that it is a measure of disappearing. That material evolution is actually spiritual evolution when the belief in matter gives way to ideas. Therefore, when ideas dissolve illusions, in that transitionary stage, it is shown forth as material evolution. We could also see it this way, that we can say, what happens when we contemplate material evolution right from the point of inorganic matter, then organic matter, where you only had simple, single cells, and then from there seems to be a material evolution up to man with his brain, with his thinking, with his abstract thinking. What is it? It is not that matter improved and evolved. It is that the rigidity of matter was breaking down. The limitation of matter was breaking down. The limitation of matter was giving way to the spiritual sense of things. That's material evolution. So that we can see that material evolution is the very opposite of what we think. Namely, it's not that matter evolves, it's much more that matter gives way to the infinite idea. And in the measure that matter gives way, the infinite idea in all its infinite manifestation has a chance to show itself forth. So it is not matter that improves, it is matter that falls away. This concept of evolution and creation is actually a concept that has also found its way into the science of biology. For instance, Professor Birch in Australian biology, he defines creation quite neatly. He says creation is taking away the limits of matter. That's creation. That's evolution. When matter gives up its limits. In other terms, we see that what evolves is actually only the spiritual. Matter never evolves. The only thing that happens is that the spiritual idea takes away our limited belief which we attribute to matter. So the chapter on the science of being presents a terrific picture of how an idea always dissolves an illusion, and in the measure that an idea dissolves the illusion, in that measure matter loses its rigidity, loses its limitations, and the spiritual always shines through more and more. So it is again the spirit that evolves, and the material belief involves, retrogrades, falls back on itself, dissolves itself. So that the dissolution of matter is actually material evolution. Therefore we can see what comes forth in the evolution, like men with a brain, with thinking, with abstract ideas, with the ability to free oneself of the limitation of nature, to overcome gravitation, to master the laws of nature and so on, is actually not making matter better, is not a measure of how matter evolves, but much more how the spirit has evolved, and therefore the so-called beliefs of matter, material laws, had to yield to the spiritual insight. So we could say, what is oneness? Perhaps we could write here in chapter 10, as oneness, there is only one evolution. There is only one evolution, the spiritual. Whereas the counterfeit of it, the dualistic sense, would be that there is spiritual and material evolution. Spiritual and material evolution. Yes? Well, this subject, you know, is so big. You know that chapter on the science of being has a first part in which Mrs. Eddy presents, so to say, the theory of how ideas evolve, and by evolving, how ideas dissolve its counterfeit illusions. That's the first part. Therefore show, so to say, the true spiritual evolution versus a material evolution. Then in the second part, she takes up the sense of evolution again, but that there much more in the way of the evolution of civilization, starting out with Adam and ending with divine science, and showing a whole line from through the Bible, from Adam, the Adam dream, upward through the Jacob struggle, going up and up through Jesus, and coming right up to our age of divine science, showing, so to say, what happened in the spiritual line of evolution. But always bringing out that it is actually the idea of God that was moving in the material evolution and in the evolution of civilization. That it is always the idea that governs, and not matter that governs, or not human intelligence that governed in the civilization story, that it is due to the idea. And perhaps when we take the introductory paragraph to this whole chapter and read it, I think we are quite amazed to see how she sets the tone right away there. So the first paragraph of her chapter, on page 268, is indicating this. There she says, in the material world, see, she starts out with the material world, with material universe and evolution, thought has brought to light with great rapidity many useful wonders, indicating that in the material world there is a terrific evolution taking place and was bringing forth many useful wonders, just going up and up and up the ladder. Yes, so she says, starts out, so to say, look here, there is a terrific material evolution and civilization taking place. Then, parallel to it, she says, with like activity have thoughts with pinions been rising towards the realm of the real, just as far as that. Can you see there are two parallel statements? As if there were two evolutions taking place, as if she would go out and say, look here, there is in the material world a terrific evolution taking place, and parallel to it, there is in the realm of the spiritual or the mental or of the thought another revolution going on. You see, as if there would be a dual revolution going on, duality. But then she binds them together into one, namely saying that it's rising towards the realm of the real, to the spiritual cause of what? And now she goes back to the first sentence, to the spiritual cause of those lower things which give impulse to inquiry. Can you read that? Those two statements. There is first the material evolution going on with bringing forth many useful wonders. Parallel to it, she says, there is an evolution going on in the realm of thinking, rising on the pinions, on swift pinions, rising towards the realm of the real, to the real, to the spiritual cause. And you would expect that she means the spiritual cause of that mental realm. But no, she says, to the spiritual cause of those lower things, first sentence, which give impulse to inquiry. And you see, she indicates that there is one cause, the spiritual cause, but that spiritual cause, so to say, is the cause of two aspects of evolution, the material evolution and the spiritual evolution, but the same cause. How do we explain it? The explanation, as we have seen, would then be what she is then telling over about, nearly 40 pages or so, the first part, would be telling, well, this is it. The spiritual cause brings forth spiritual things, and the spiritual cause makes also matter to disappear, dissolves matter. Before the spiritual idea, illusions yield. Before the infinite idea, the finiteness of belief yields. So that actually what is seen as evolution is a freeing oneself of limited concepts, so that freeing from limited concept is shown as a progressive step. What is a new discovery? What is a new invention? Well, a new invention, a new discovery is not that we make something which has not existed before. A new invention, a new discovery is actually nothing else but to take away our limits which we have put on a subject where we have not seen through clearly to that point where the idea is very clear. We cannot through an invention really create something which has not been there. We can only take off the limits of ignorance, and then we see it, we see the solution. So that an invention, a discovery, is actually, again, nothing else but spiritual evolution. It is taking away the limits of matter. So, we can see that in evolution, we actually never have to do with improving a state of things. We do not improve something. That would be really the condemnation of Adam to till the ground and to make it better and better, to make error better and to make matter better and better. It's never an improvement. It's always showing that evolution is something in spite of matter. It's always something where the rigidity, the barrenness of matter, the rigidity of matter, the limitation of matter, the ponderosity of matter is taken away. With just any aspect that makes matter a limited concept in any way possible, if we take away those aspects, we have a higher sense of things, but we do not improve it. We take away the veil. The thing itself has always existed. The answer has always existed. The solution has always existed. What we do, we take away the veil that was veiling the answer. And that then is called evolution. Yeah? That's that. Now, how could he put now that whole thing into a law of oneness? We would have to see that it is one evolution, but it would have to show that one evolution, which is on the level of divine science, that one evolution actually is seen on the level of absolute Christian science and Christian science. That we cannot separate anymore the level of divine science from the other levels, so that spiritual evolution must be seen also as what one says or calls material evolution. But did I make that clear? There is no material evolution. It's no evolution of matter. What we call material evolution is spiritual evolution in spite of matter. Is spiritual evolution freeing itself of the limits of matter. We may call it now, for the sake of having a clear terminology, we just call it material evolution. But actually, there doesn't exist something like that. What exists is spiritual evolution. That can be looked at from the level of absolute Christian science and see how an idea dissolves its illusion, which precipitates itself on the material level as showing itself forth as a material evolution, which is spiritual evolution in spite of matter, or taking away the limits of matter. Now let's see if we can elaborate that and see what the sevenfold evolution is. And so let us make a little exercise on that. Let's say the law which we can lay down here would be that spiritual evolution appears as material evolution. When matter yields its claims. Spiritual evolution appears as material evolution when matter yields its claims. So actually, have you written this down? Yes. So actually, if you look at this law, you can see there are three factors involved in it. There is first spiritual evolution, which we could consider through the seven. Then a second factor would be the appearing as material evolution. That would be a second factor in it. And then we would have a third factor in it, namely when matter yields its claims. Or in an abbreviated way, we could say when belief yields. When belief yields. So, let's make three columns so that we can have these three factors side by side. Perhaps you make three columns on your paper, and the title of the first column would be spiritual evolution. Second column would be appears as material evolution. Appears as material evolution. And the third column would be when belief yields. When belief yields. So we can consider how these three factors are interlocked. Let's take mind. Here, as spiritual evolution, we could see in mind that we have creativity, spiritual creativity. How does it appear in the material? It appears, you see, it's always appearing, it's not material, huh? You have written appears, huh? Appears. It's a seeming sense. What does it appear? It always appears as a creative evolution. That we witness something creative happen in the world. But which claim has to yield? That's the question. What claim has to yield if we have spiritual evolution as spiritual creativity? The belief has to yield that there is intelligence in matter or intelligence in brain. That belief has to yield that brain is creative. That brain is creative. That would be the third column. Yeah? Do you see what we try to do? We try to elaborate on that law and see what happens in the spiritual evolution of mind. How does that then in the second column appear in the material world? And third, say, but that is only possible if a belief yields. The belief that is the opposite of the first column, huh, yields, because an idea brings an illusion to the point of yielding. So we have to see what has to yield in order to have this appearing of material evolution. So here we have something very simple. We say, all right, there is creative ability, true creative ability, true creativity, when I go out from mind, because mind is the only creator. So if I have mind as the only creator, naturally, then you can just go to the third column, then naturally I have to see not that the brain is creative, not that my human reasoning is creative, that not the human mind is creative. And so if that yields before the first column as the creativity of mind, then what happens in the world? In the world, perhaps something has been invented, and therefore we feel that the material evolves, that the material shows forth a higher creativity. We have a better gadget, we have a better machine, we have a better things and that and the other. In the world. You see what I want to do? All right. Let's go to spirit and see what is spiritual evolution. On what basis in spirit relies spiritual evolution? It relies on the reality of spirit. Of spiritual reality, of spiritual substance. This is the idea that only the spiritual has substance. And so when we see that, then that shows itself forth. Actually, I think we should do it better the other way around, that we go from the first column to the third and then to the second, huh? Because we can't follow grammar. Huh? We were following grammar. Huh? We are not following really spiritual order. So we think now along spiritual order. We say in the first column we really can see that spiritual creation relies on the reality of the spiritual, on the substance of spirit. This is the idea of spirit. And now in the third column, which belief has to yield? This idea makes the belief yield that there is matter-substance. That actually matter is substance and not spirit is substance. And what happens is the second column. What happens is that there is a progress in the material, that there is an unfoldment in the material.